In 2013, a podcast was recorded by the cast of Hey Kids Comics and Figments. The footage was mysteriously lost. The audio, recorded on cassette, was recovered by a pair of hikers in the Pine Barrens of New Jersey next to a first print of Youngblood No. 1 with a coupon still intact and a car battery. The footage was then painstakingly reconstructed by seminary students from the AV Club at St. Mark's downtown. These are those tapes.
Bigfoot, Spider-Man, UFOs, Batman, Jersey Devil, Green Lantern, Thunderbirds, The Yeti, Mr. Banjo. The JCU presents the Hey Kids Comics Figments Team Up with your hosts, Colleen Medina, Cole Houston, Andrew Farmer, and Eddie Medina.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a very special crossover event. I will not be calling this a Hey Kids Comics issue.
I hate to interrupt you. I'm pretty sure I heard something.
You heard something already?
That was my stomach growling. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
I'm ready for some s'mores.
I'm sure. Yeah. By the way, so that's Eddie. Colleen, are you out there?
Colleen, catch up.
Oh, wait, guys, wait for me.
Oh,
wait,
Colleen.
Okay, here
okay.
I am.
We've been wanting to do this for a while. This is Hey Kids Comics 82nd issue. It's also Figments. What, 7th issue, Eddie?
The 7th issue, yes.
7th issue. So this is a true crossover, what Eddie's referring to as the flip comic.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. I like that.
Yeah.
No, you're not.
One side of this comic is Figments issue 7. The other side is Hey Kids Comics 82.
Yeah, it's like back in the day in the 90s when you had Youngblood number 3 on one side and Brigade number 2 on the other. I cannot believe I knew that.
No, but it's not like that, because what you're saying there is, like, neither of them are worth it, so you have to combine them. And this is an entirely different type of thing.
That's true, that's true.
This is like if you took two good books.
It kind of relates, because Rob Liefeld is kind of a cryptid in his own right, I suppose.
That's true. I don't believe
he exists.
He's an apparition of talent. the voice, of course, you hear over there is the co-host of Hey Kids Comics, Cole Houston. And with us, with me... Thankfully, I'm thanking them for being here.
Yeah.
Is the cast of Figments. So why don't you introduce the Figments?
Go for it, Miss Figment.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm still roasting my hot dog. Okay, here we go.
That's not a hot dog. Can you let go of that now?
Oh. It's an intergalactic hot dog.
No, it was one of those Yoda...
Yeah,
it was a Chico stick.
I love that part. Okay, getting off the subject. Yes,
yeah.
I am Colleen Medina, and I am one of the co-hosts of the Figments podcast, where we talk about cryptids and the unexplained, the unknown, mysteries, conspiracy theories, and my co-host is my hubby poo, Eddie Medina.
There he is. He's out there. Eddie, do you have anything you want to say for yourself?
Yeah, are you there?
You know,
I'm sorry. I was chasing a squirrel.
Andrew has been doing this show for over a year.
Good
and
luck.
He's never called me anything poo.
I just called you straight up poo.
That's true. Yeah, there was that.
Should we mention why we're chasing squirrels and roasting wieners?
Well, yeah. We talked about it, and we decided that we were going to, since this was a crossover event, and since this is a very special issue, and since we do not get to spend enough time together, that we were going to head to New Jersey and head to the Pine Barrens out there, go on a little hiking trip, bring our wireless internet, set up, and record a show. It's super nice out here. The stars are out.
It really is.
Yeah, it's really
nice. The nice thing is being out here, unlike in the studio, not only can you see the sky, but the stars you do see are much clearer.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the stars that I see when I record are because I got some of those little star-shaped stickers that glow in the dark. I put them on the ceiling, and I turn the lights off so I don't have to look at myself and my shame.
Yeah.
And
I tend to just flip through an old Teen Beat magazine. Those are the stars.
Oh, that's chock full of stars.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, look.
And
here's an old one. Here's Leif Erikson.
Yeah.
Eriksson. Okay, the Jersey Devil is going to get all of y'all, and I'm going to be the lone survivor.
But you know what? It is a nice night out. For a second, I thought it was a full moon, but then I realized that Colleen had just dropped her pants.
Ha ha! I knew that was coming.
Hey, you know what? The reason I invoke Leif Erikson is I wanted to tell a scary story.
Oh, and that's what we're here.
One of those monster stories. You like turn a flashlight on under your chin and go. Once upon a time, there was a kid who was a TV star and a music star called Leif Erikson.
As long as it doesn't end with Large Marge coming out, I think we're okay.
Right. So we're here to record a joint podcast about cryptids and aliens and monsters in comic books.
Yeah.
And in general media. So I'm going to throw it over to the professionals in this field, which is not Cole and I, and let you guys get us rolling.
Oh, right, yeah.
Just remember, if you're going to go into the woods, use the buddy system, be safe.
That's right.
Bring
your own toilet paper. Bring your own toilet paper because you do not want to accidentally use poison ivy leaves.
No, you don't.
Who is going to do that other than you?
Well, oddly enough, the toilet paper that Eddie usually buys doesn't come on a roll. It's leaf-shaped.
Oh,
it comes on a vine.
Anyone
could make that mistake if they're using new vine paper for...
That's why I'm always itching. Okay, now we know.
Oh, TMI, woman.
Okay.
So why are there so many of these things in comic books?
Well, part of it is just because Bigfoot itself has become such a big cultural phenomenon. Not just Bigfoot, but anything cryptid. And, of course, aliens have been around in comic books forever. In fact, not too long back at North Texas Comic Book Show, Cole surprised me by bringing me and Colleen a UFO Flying Saucers comic book from, like, the 50s or 60s. It was like Dell or Gold Key comic. And it was actually pretty interesting. I mean, it's funny to read something from that era because... you know, the sensationalism behind the writing and all that was very interesting.
Yeah, and that one was one of those quote unquote nonfiction type.
It really was.
It was supposed to be like covering, or you know, here's some like comic book adaptation of real sightings.
Oh yeah, yeah. Colleen, what was that guy's name that produced that magazine back in the day? The Fate magazine. You know, they refer to him as like a carnival barker. Do you remember his name?
Am I supposed to remember his name?
Oh, yeah, it's in that documentary, like, the one with Worf narrating. But anyway, it was a lot like those old magazines that they would produce back in the day, where they took these real stories and accounts, and they turned them into these, like, short stories for magazines, where these comics, they would turn them into actual comic stories. And it's very interesting, but beyond that, you know, you can get into all sorts of things that were coming out back then, but flash forward to modern time, we're just getting bombarded with all sorts of, not just cryptids, but UFO alien stuff, and even conspiracies. One thing that Colleen and I are desperate to track down, it's been out for a while, but we actually just found out about it not too long ago, is by Paradox Press. It's the big book of conspiracies.
I'm going to make you jealous. I don't think I have that one, but I do have three of the big book series on my shelf. I have the big book of weirdos, the big book of freaks, and, of course, the big book of urban legends.
Nice. Yeah.
There's also
I like one of the urban legend ones.
Yeah.
That's a fun one. It's literally like that comic adaptation of these types of quote-unquote real stories.
I was thinking that one of those you were going to say the big book of big books.
There needs to be a collected edition that's all of them in one giant volume.
Oh my gosh.
Exactly.
Well, one of the other ones in that series is the big book of the unexplained, and that's the one that actually covers all alternate dimensions, UFOs.
Wow.
Yeah, but the conspiracies one, from what I've seen online, is really amazing. It's got everything that, especially what Colleen, you would love this, because it covers JFK and Oswald.
My favorite.
The Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, Des, John Lennon, Nixon. So it's got like a little bit of everything. I think there's even a thing about Lincoln and John Wilkes Booth.
So outside of, okay, so here's my thing, right?
Uh-huh.
Outside of your established, which I'm sure we'll get into, outside of your established comic book characters that are cryptids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like your Yeti, Wendigo, like Yeti, mm-hmm. like these guys still have appearances of things like Loch Ness Monster or Jersey Devil or Bigfoot, just random Bigfoot, right? Not Bigfoot the comic book character, but just random Bigfoot in the woods, or you know other monsters or cryptids or gray aliens. You're in a comic book world where you've got Sangar and Ran and the Brood and the Shire, and you get random gray aliens showing up periodically.
Those are the guys that everybody's surprised about.
Right.
If the Kree arrived, you're like, oh, look, it's the Kree. But, oh, look, it's one of those Betty and Barney Hill aliens.
That's
so like scary. That. Like, what about the guy over there? He's blue and has a laser. And
exactly.
He came in on a spaceship with an armada.
It's like when they did, back in the 80s, when DC did Invasion, where the alien invasion came and, like, attacked Earth, and it was like Independence Day, but it was in the DC universe.
Right.
And it was the same thing where you had like these, the aliens and their heads looked like gourds or something. They were like yellow and wrinkly. But yeah, it's like you're thinking,
the Dominion.
And is that what they were?
I'm glad you brought that up because the big problem with that was an alien invasion on an Earth that's chock-a-block full of aliens.
Aliens and super-powered beings, exactly.
You've got Superman, Starfire, Martian Manhunter. Do we need to do the list? I mean, come on, kids. How long have we had aliens and now it's an invasion?
But my question is, how does that still hold our attention as readers, when you have a world full of superpowered beings and established alien races? Marvel now has a nation of vampires, and how does a simple thing like that still hold our attention as comic book fans?
Did you guys hear that? What's that noise?
I'm sure it's nothing.
It's probably just an owl.
Right, I'm sure it's nothing.
That did not sound like an owl to me.
That's a big owl.
It's,
oh my.
Guys, we're doing a podcast.
There's big owls.
Let's focus on the task at hand. I'm sure it's fine.
Okay.
I'm sure
they're
it's fine.
They're not native to America, but they could be, like, a shape.
You know,
the flying fox.
You asked how it holds our attention. I think it's just the audience. You know, there's, like, the audience that loves the Batman comics or the G.I. Joe comics. And then there's the audience like me who loves the suspenseful and mysteries and horror comics. But the comics aren't just all, Bigfoot or, you know, versions of Bigfoot. There's different things that they add in there. Like, we've talked about Polshak before, the Night Stalker,
mm-hmm.
and there's one that this isn't really a cryptid, but it's, he's got the Living Dead, it's Night Stalker and the Living Dead in there.
Yeah.
And that's just a little, you know, little something different. And then he goes on to...
It's not a cryptid, but it still falls in the Figment category.
Yeah, and then there's a comic with him and Sherlock Holmes, and, you know, then of course there's the beloved X-File comic.
Yeah.
And there's one series that we would like to get, what was it, Eddie, that we saw? It was Billy the Kid and Jack the Ripper.
Oh. Yes, okay, so
both of those are considered conspiracy theories, you know, both of them. Billy the Kid, if he really died or not, or if he lived until 1950, and
Harris shot him, yeah.
Yeah, and then Jack the Ripper, of course.
Well,
so I thought that was pretty interesting.
And that's the concept of this comic series. It's by Dark Horse. They theorize that Billy the Kid was not killed by Pat Garrett, and instead he joins like a ragtag band of misfits, and they go around doing all these crazy things. Like in, like you said, Colleen, in Volume 2, they go up against Jack the Ripper. In Volume 3, they actually, it has to do with the Loch Ness Monster. And
I think I hear something walking. walking through the...
I know. I was going to say something. I could have heard something in the underbrush.
Okay. Yeah, I'm glad it's not me.
Does somebody want to check it out, or did somebody... Do we just leave it?
I'll go take a look. You guys
all right,
go.
All right.
Oh, okay.
Take a flashlight.
Do you need, need a buddy?
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
You need a buddy, or is Skippy McFedrin?
I'll be okay.
I'm surprised y'all didn't volunteer me to go, but anyway.
I decided to jump in there before Eddie volunteered you.
Oh,
Cole,
why don't you take Skippy McFedrin with you?
Skippy.
Oh, yeah, I'll take Skippy with me.
We brought Skippy along to carry our stuff.
He's around here somewhere, so I told him we're going to go on a snipe hunt later.
Yeah, he's our Sherpa.
Our Sherpa. What's cool about that is the Loch Ness monster actually is getting in trouble. He's in danger because of all characters. Dracula comes along and is threatening his life. So Billy the Kid and his cohorts have to come and rescue Loch Ness because apparently the backstory to that is that the Loch Ness monster is part of their little band or something from the past. So it's really cool stuff that's out there.
So let me ask.
So, yeah, it's just gonna it's gonna attract people who are interested in this type of thing, you know.
You okay?
Oh, are you okay? What was
I don't know. I didn't see anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I'm sure whatever it was that saw you.
I don't know. Skippy tore out of here. So
oh,
fear.
Is Skippy gone?
I guess. I don't know where. He may be hiding in the van or something.
He's such a turncoat.
Right? He is. That's why I wouldn't let him be on my show.
Guys, I'm sure it's just, we're all from the South. Southwest, I'm sure it's fine. I'm sure it's probably just like a vole. Or some sort of fox creature, it's fine. Let's just let it be.
We're city people. We're not accustomed to being out in the wilderness.
It's more scared of you than it is. It's more scared of you than you are of it. Just.
You want to bet?
That's true. You are Eddie. But let's go on with. I have a question.
Okay.
So, and I didn't ask this during the panel. If you guys didn't hear it or see it on Facebook, there was a Alcon panel that Colleen and Eddie did that was fantastic. It really was fantastic.
Aww.
If you guys get a chance to go listen to it, please do. It was great. How do you guys, because it's such a big part of comic books, right? It's such, and I'm being legitimate. This isn't a Bobby question. how do you guys feel about the real life implications and what it means societally about vampires?
Because
it's such a huge part of comic books, and it always has been.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I want to, you know, on the subject, this may be a little off topic while we're thinking, you know, formulating our answers to your actual question. But, you know, one thing on the subject of vampires, one of the best treatments of vampires in comics that I've encountered was during Alan Moore's American Gothic storyline and Swamp Thing, during his tenure on that book.
Yeah.
And what was really cool is that I'm guessing what this was based on was an older Swamp Thing story, because it seemed like they were trying to refer back to something. They may have been just retconning, but it may have been legit, where apparently, and it's certainly possible given that, you know, Swamp Thing always had these macabre leanings as a comic before it got super sophisticated under Moore, but he is like re-encountering vampires that he apparently encountered decades before. And I think the idea was that he had flooded this town that was overrun by vampires.
Okay.
And apparently not really understanding the implications.
That they would survive that.
Yeah, so they all became like these aquatic vampires. And they've been sort of secretly underwater all this time, have adapted and become, there's like one of them, they're literally breeding this new breed of this like hideous fish-like vampire creatures.
Nice.
When he intervenes. Yeah. And what was really cool is at this point, Swamp Thing knows the full measure of his power and literally moves the earth itself. And
like Superman?
Only
but,
from
but less hackneyed.
by being inside the earth itself and using the plants to move the earth, but literally unfloods the valley.
Wow.
and causes the exposure, the sudden exposure to the air causes them all to disintegrate and destroys even the new hideous creatures that were supposed to.
Wow. You know.
But it was such a neat take on the idea of vampires, is adapting them to a new type of environment and still having those built-in weaknesses that make vampires.
Yeah.
You know, the challenge a good writer to take those concepts and play with them.
And you said this was Alan Moore that wrote it?
Yeah.
Who
is talking about a comic book? Then Alan Moore wrote it. Let's just establish.
Yeah, almost a given.
I like to point out that they have officially said, you know, the scientific world has said that Alan Moore's beard is actually a cryptid.
It has to be.
Alan Moore himself was once classified as a cryptid. It was temporary because they did capture him.
So, tagging,
and it turned out they checked that he has Indian.
Alan Moore is the coelacanth of ours.
That is so true. I love that reference. Cole McNo, that's going to be another JCU t-shirt.
So Alan Moore is the coelacanth of the comic. Because
I heard it that time.
Yeah.
Previously, I heard it that time, guys.
Oh, you heard it?
Yeah, that time I heard it.
I was busy talking. I didn't hear it.
I think you need to go check it out since you're so sure that it's nothing.
But I want to point out that Alan Moore previously was thought to exist only in the fossil record.
I want to point out that Alan
in
Moore
in 1982 or 83 was discovered to still be. He was also first identified off the coast of Madagascar.
Good grief.
Or it might have been Westchester or somewhere else in England.
Well, getting back to your question,
Hold on. I wanted to point out that Alan Moore and his beard are actually the first recorded cryptid symbiote.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, there you go. I'm sorry, go ahead, Colleen.
Mm-hmm.
What wildlife might live in these woods that would have red eyes? Does anybody have? I went and looked.
There's a possibility of coyotes or really like eerie looking bobcats
with red eyes. No, they're gonna have like green, yellowish eyes.
Listen,
that's true.
If they're eerie looking,
I saw Open for Social Distortion in 1998. They were good, but they are not in these woods.
Oh my God!
Was it high up in the trees, or was it down?
No, it was about level with me.
It could have been a cougar, but I think that even Andrew is too old for them.
A cougar level with him, really?
I was gonna say it could be a cougar, but more than likely it's the Jersey Devil. Let's just put it.
Why
would the Jersey Devil be here? Don't Jersey Devils range further north?
We're in the Pine Barrens.
Oh, that I forgot.
Okay, the reason why Cole didn't know where we were is because he rode in the car with Skippy McFederson, and Skippy made him wear a sack on his head, so he didn't know where he was taking him.
Vampires.
I'm sorry. I'm going to pretend that I didn't see whatever I saw. So
yeah, okay. You're going to have nightmares tonight. Let me tell you.
Probably.
If you get home.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see what happens, but Colleen, you were saying about vampires?
Yes, I was just going to answer your question kind of the best way that I know how.
There was a question?
Yeah, there was a long time ago. It was probably maybe about 15 minutes ago.
Oh.
But anyway, you know, I think vampires have gotten so popular nowadays, the vampire shows. I'm not even going to mention the obvious. But it's also one of those things that people claim to be themselves. If you think about the traditional scary movie monsters, Dracula, werewolf, the mummy, the creature from the Black Lagoon, people are only going to claim to be a vampire. People can claim to be a werewolf because, you know, there are people that have that certain hair disease. I don't know what it's called, but they have the hair that grows all over their face, and so people think that they are really the, I guess it's, you know, People think that that's what the werewolf thing comes from, but
yeah,
but really
inspiration
it's,
for the
yeah, but really it's not. But
they obviously have not met. They have obviously have not met my relatives then.
Exactly. Or seen your feet. But anyway, so
is this, Eddie like a hypothyroid hobbit or?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, he totally.
Aren't you a little tall for a hobbit?
I'm too tall for a hobbit, too short for a stormtrooper.
He's gonna go get a pedicure, and they're gonna have to get a chainsaw to you. Anyway,
woman?
So if you think about it in that way, I've kind of thought about that before, but especially now that she asked that question, I don't know if I'm answering your question or not, but these are just kind of my thoughts. So people, you know, look at all these monsters, and that's the only one that they can actually claim that they are because they drink blood. Now, if we were to stab
them... And
I
actually encountered somebody, by the way, who claimed to be a vampire. And
really? Wow.
It's like,
you know...
Did
you say... What did you say?
Do us a favor. You're not a vampire.
Oh, that's something...
I thought you were going to say, do me a favor and stop sucking on my neck.
Stab yourself in the heart already. But, you know, if we, you know, these people are, you know, if we stabbed them, they would, you know, they would die. And they wouldn't have to be stabbed through the heart with a wooden stick. But, obviously, you know, they're...
That's what they want.
They're not goodness, well, you know, we can accommodate. But, now that you brought the vampire thing up, we found one of my comics, and I actually forgot I had it. It's a Nancy Drew Vampire Slayer. Isn't that cute?
And she's not kidding. It's an actual graphic novel.
Right, no, it's so cute.
What's next? The Hardy Boys zombie hunters?
There was a companion book with the Hardy Boys, but they weren't vampire hunters. They were doing something else.
They were like zombie hunters or something.
Yeah.
It was something that went along with.
I love the Hardy Boys, but anyway. So and you know, of course, Kolchak in one of his movies, he goes after the vampire, and I believe in one or more than one of the comics. The vampire, I think he makes a recurring appearance, actually, somehow. And so those are kind of my thoughts. I think the vampire, Dracula, is such a big deal. It's gotten so popular because I'm thinking it's taken off so much because people can take on that role themselves. I mean, it'd be pretty hard to take on the role of a mummy or the creature from the Black Lagoon. So if you think about it, you know, that's the one that they can, oh, well, I can do this and just call myself a vampire.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a really, that's really good point.
That is very insightful. Now, go make a sandwiches, woman. What?
You're gonna get... Did we lose Andy?
I'm still here. I'm a little freaked out. I'm just listening.
Oh, okay.
Speaking of vampires, if people are interested in checking out any kind of really cool vampire comics, one would be the X-Files 30 Days of Night comic book.
Yeah. Talk about the best depiction I've ever seen of vampires in pretty much any medium is Steve Niles' 30 Days of Night.
Yeah, there
Man.
You go.
I remember you talking about that before. Yeah,
it's creepy and amazing, and the movie is good. The movie is actually really good, but it doesn't do justice to what the comic book can do. You feel claustrophobic. It's very frenetic. You feel trapped by it. It's so cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you're holding your breath the whole time.
Uh huh. Yeah,
like
you certainly
me, I hold
are.
My breath, and then I grab my shirt and wrinkle it up. I don't even realize I'm doing it.
The other one actually incorporates two things that I find are pretty cool, and it was by Antarctic Press, and it was Yeti versus Vampires.
Nice.
Which I still say they need to adapt it into a sci-fi original movie, because it would be perfect.
Oh my gosh, you know they will. I mean, they have to.
It's been out for a while. I can't believe someone hasn't picked it up as a movie, because it's literally just like one of those movies. It's literally like an asylum movie. It's just fun, it's goofy, and it's got literally Yetis versus vampires, and of course the Yetis, you know, win. Spoiler alert. No.
So, what is everybody's favorite... Okay, I want to do this. We all know the reason you guys have your show, which is amazing, is that there is speculation as to the existence of certain cryptids. Right? It's fun to imagine and believe that these things exist, and we don't know if they do or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? What is your favorite comic book cryptid that there's no way on the face of this earth could ever exist?
Oh, that's a good question.
Like if somebody came to you and said there was a sighting of this, you'd be like, complete bullcrap. There's no way.
You know what? Go ahead, Eddie.
No, I know what yours is, because it also happens to be your favorite comic book that's cryptid-based. But
what?
Secret Saturdays.
Yeah.
Is that what you're going to say?
Fiskerton.
Yeah, Fiskerton, because that's not one that we think is real. But then again, why don't you explain to them who Fiskerton is, if they haven't seen...
Secret Saturdays.
Yeah, otherwise, out of context, that sounds dirty.
No, it doesn't. Oh, Secret Saturday says? Or
yeah, that sounds even dirtier, but no.
Cole and I have had Secret Saturdays for years.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There's nothing encrypted about that.
It should be encrypted.
Yeah. But, well, probably Secret shouldn't have told anybody.
Secret Saturdays obviously started as a kids' cartoon, but... Yeah. But they actually have a comic book series based on it, which Colleen just loves, because, you know, of course she also loves the show. But why don't you tell them about Fiskerton and what species he is?
Well, Fiskerton, you know, when we were watching the cartoon, we saw him. He's tall. He's taller than everybody else. And he's got these extremely long arms, red eyes, you know, just fur, big, huge feet.
He looks like the guy from... Thundar the Barbarian, Ugla the Mock.
No, not really, because he's...
Yeah, he looks like an owl bear, doesn't he?
Owl bear!
He actually...
He kind of does look like an owl bear, actually.
He really does, but Colleen, his actual species, is it a gorilla cat? That's like not the technical name that they give.
You are listening to the smooth sounds of the gorilla.
I know.
It's gorilla cat every night from midnight straight through.
So we were thinking, when we were watching the show, we were thinking, oh, the Bigfoot, we love him. He's so funny. You know, he's tall and he's quiet. He doesn't talk. He's always going along with them. He's kind of like their little bodyguard. But we noticed that he's also, of course, just like in Star Wars with Chewbacca, the biggest ones are always the biggest scaredy cats, the big babies.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
And so he became one of my favorites. But as we were reading the comic, we realized that, and doing a little bit more research on him, that he's not a Bigfoot, that he's just some sort of gorilla cat type thing. And you're looking at him, and yeah, I mean, he's got the gorilla Bigfoot type body, but then he's got cat features. You know, he's got these ears that, or these hair thingies that pop up like ears that look like cat ears.
Yeah.
And then he's kind of got that little cat nose mouth thing going on, but then he's got the red eyes like a Bigfoot. And so anyway, he would be my favorite. Now, if he was an actual Bigfoot, then it wouldn't apply. But since, you know, I'm pretty sure that a gorilla cat doesn't exist, I would have to say that he's my favorite. And I love his personality. I love how he's, you know, he's the family pet. He's their best friend. He's kind of like their bodyguard, but he's just a big baby. And, you know, through the cartoon, you know, I refer back to the cartoons because it's easier for me because... it's just
there's not a whole lot of the comics out. There was one graphic novel, and then they ran as one of the anthology WB Kids book comics.
I always go back to the cartoons because it's just a visual thing for me. But whenever they meet people,
yeah, because comics aren't visual at all.
Shut up. But anyway, they're always scared of him, and then they realize that there's really nothing to be scared of, you know. So I
more scared of them than they are.
Right on. That's awesome.
Exactly.
I'm going to have to check that out.
I heard something.
What about Eddie?
I'm pretty sure I heard something. It sounded like an owl bear to me.
It sounded like an owl bear? If there's something in these woods, I pray that it's an owl bear.
Now.
Wait, you know what?
I'm sorry.
Wait, hold on.
I'm sorry, Cole. What?
Wait, didn't we make reservations on the Leeds property?
Well, yeah, it was cheaper that way.
Yeah, we got the best deal.
Is that where we are?
Okay, guys.
Granted, Travelocity, it was scored really low on Travelocity. I don't know why.
Yelp, it only had 1.25 stars on Yelp, but that one person said that they enjoyed their stay.
That 1.5 person?
Yeah.
That 1.5 person.
And
never mind the flaming hoof prints, you will have a good time.
You may not remember it.
Hey, we're using the flaming hoof prints to make our s'mores on. So
right.
It's convenient.
It came with its own fire, Colleen.
Yeah. Hey, you can't do better than that.
Oh, my gosh. Well, this isn't on purpose, but my favorite cryptid in comics that doesn't exist is actually kind of sort of tied to Secret Saturdays in a way, and it comes from the comic book series The Perhaponauts. And yeah, so when I'm reading The Perhaponauts, at some point after I got done with like the first miniseries and I'm leading into like the special, I realized I never put this together, but this is kind of like Secret Saturdays, but not for kids. You know, because they're an investigation, and the Perhaponauts, for those who don't know, it's a really cool, very much cryptid-based a series. You got, you know, your humans, and you got your cryptids. You got a Bigfoot, you got a Chupacabra, you have a ghost. There's a girl ghost who's one of the members. But even beyond that, even the humans are special, I guess, freaks in a way. Like, there's one girl who's got telekinesis. There's a guy who you don't really know. He's still kind of a mystery, how, you know, what exactly his powers are, but he's obviously got some, you know, paranormal powers. But the Perhaponauts, it's just really cool. They're an investigative team. They travel around in a UFO, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Every aspect about this series for someone like me and Colleen is perfect, because it's well-written, it's funny. It's got, you know, some suspense, you know, nothing like 30 Days a Night, but it's got some mystery to it. And I'm not going to exactly give away what my cryptid choice would be, because it actually ties into the story of the first miniseries, and I don't want to spoil it.
Okay.
But it's really cool, because when I started reading the first issue, and they started describing the thing that they were going after, I thought, oh, okay, well, that. Obviously, from their description, it's this cryptid, and I'm not going to say what it is, obviously. But as I'm reading further,
sorry,
I was like,
"Are you not going to say what it is?"
I'm not going to say what it is.
Yeah, <that's okay>. Why. Making sure.
I'm sorry. Is my sandwich ready?
You need to stop that.
Yeah, I don't know what's more frightening: the sounds that we keep hearing, or Colleen's look.
Right.
Because remember, no one here is on your team.
When she flashes you that look, I'm ready to run out in the woods and take my chance.
Colleen, I only need to run faster than Eddie.
She is holding the machete, so I better leave her alone. Yeah. But anyway, so then, you know, I'm reading it, and as it's going along, then you realize something happens, and it's like, okay, so it's not that cryptid, it's got to be this cryptid. So then you keep reading, and they keep twisting it. It keeps turning into something else. So it's that's as much as I'm going to say. Go out, buy the Perhaponauts. There's two miniseries. There's a one-shot special. Actually, if you want to check out the series, they have the one-shot special on the Perhaponauts website. You can actually read it for free.
Yeah.
So it's a good series. I definitely recommend that one.
I'm sorry. I'm going to go check on Skippy, because...
You're going to... Okay.
Between him, you know, I don't hear anything coming from over toward the van where he was headed, but...
Be careful out there.
I hear a lot of other stuff in other directions, and I'm a little concerned about his well-being, and I'm also concerned about, you know, the state of the interior of the van.
Right. It's a rental. It's a rental. We didn't get insurance, so...
Yeah. In this...
Those are really crispy leaves, I hear.
Yeah.
But you know,
in the Secret Saturdays, just really quick,
Yeah.
And this is in the cartoon, going back to the cartoon, because she's not in the...
Well, hold on. Does Cole need help?
Is he okay?
I think he's all right. Let's...
Oh, okay.
I'll go check on him in a sec. I'll go check it. Finish your thought. I'll go check on him in a sec.
She's not in this comic. But in one of my favorite parts in one of the cartoons is the family and their, you know, all of their pets. They have a Komodo dragon and of course the gorilla cat, and then they have this pterodactyl, and I forgot her name.
It's Zon.
Yeah, there you go. It was Zion. Yeah.
Did you hear that?
I think somebody needs to check on him.
All right, let me go. Just hold down the fort.
Okay.
Let me go check on Cole. Make sure he's okay. I'll be back. You guys keep going. Keep doing the show. I'll be right back. Okay.
Okay.
We'll try to manage.
Okay. Oh my. But anyway.
Yeah.
So the family encounters this man, and they take him into their, what is it, like a camper, or it's some sort of,
yeah, something.
Yeah, camp, let's just say it's a camper. And so
it's
anyway,
either a camper or it's a spaceship.
Well, I was kind of thinking it was a spaceship.
Shows that. Oh, because someone's walking through the leaves. Oh, someone's coming.
Uh oh. Are y'all okay?
Hello?
Oh. Well, anyway, they'll get here soon.
I heard something crunching through the leaves just now.
I did too. And I'm hearing voices. Hopefully, it's those.
Are those intergalactic wieners roasted yet?
They're almost ready. So anyway, they were going to leave this man alone with Zon, the pterodactyl, and so, you know, he's kind of getting used to everything, all his surroundings, and he's looking around, and so they said, right before they leave, whatever you do, don't make eye contact with her.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So the camera goes from him or them to her, to the pterodactyl, and she's just staring at him with his old huge eyes.
Oh, just had that stink eye, like.
And it's like, there's, how can you not make eye contact with her? It was so funny. It was just so cute. It's one of my favorite parts of that. I wish she was in this comic.
One cool thing that I've noticed about the comics, what they're integrating into the series, are how they're using cryptids in like an investigative detective kind of crime noir type setting.
Yeah, they are, actually.
Hold on.
Yeah, I heard something chewing.
Or grinding or something.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, so, like, some of my favorites, like, Image Comics puts out Proof.
Wait, you know what I just thought of? Oof.
That you're interrupting me?
Wait, what?
That you're interrupting me?
Yeah, but, I mean, think about all the other things that could be out there in the woods other than animals. There could be some psychos out there, and they're out there.
Oh, thank you. We've already had this experience at Lake Whitney when we were set up that night.
I know, but we've got the van here. They're off doing who knows what. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, Cole is drinking a lot of, you know, unsweetened iced tea on the way up here, so he's probably having to go tinky, you know, out there. So.
Oh, tinky winky.
Yeah. He loves himself some iced tea. So, Proof is one of them, and that's basically, you know, it's almost like X-Files, but instead of Mulder being a guy, it was like as if Mulder was a Bigfoot. Proof is a Bigfoot, and he's got a partner, and they're basically like Mulder and Scully, and they do all these investigations. So that's one cool one. Another one is, remember I was telling you about that one called Mystery Afoot?
Uh-huh.
It's kind of like more like that, it's got more of a cartoony look, and if you don't remember, it's basically Bigfoot and the Loch Ness Monster team up. So what is up in the tree?
Oh my gosh. Do you see that?
I hear something. I don't see anything because my eyes are closed because I'm scared.
Of course. I'm pretty sure I see something in the tree, like a black silhouette type thing. This is weird. This is a little scary because our fire was going out.
Hold on. Get on your phone because I'm too scared to look at mine. Get on your phone and look up to see if they've had any sightings in this area of UFOs or aliens.
Do we really want to do that while we're out here? I'm not sure.
Is that a cat? Maybe it's a gorilla cat.
But, you know, getting back to what you were saying, I think that kind of adds a neat twist. Not just the people going out and investigating, but these teams of cryptid teams. And even though, like, the Secret Saturdays have humans and cryptids going out and investigating or trying to save something or somebody, you know, I think it adds a neat twist. And it, because Andy had asked, how does it keep attention? I think that's one way it does. It doesn't just talk about a cryptid. It incorporates the cryptid into the planning of the mission. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that's really neat.
Yeah, so Mystery Afoot is definitely one I want to check out, because when you get Bigfoot and Nessie and they're teaming up to be a detective agency, that's definitely something that is right up my alley.
You got to check that out, yeah.
And the other one, it's a little bit more actual film noir based. It's a little bit more adult reading as opposed to kids, but it's called Footprints. And that's that one I was telling you about, Colleen. It's like a 4-issue series, I think, where it's basically like the Bigfoot Detective Agency. Again, Bigfoot is a detective. His brother, the Yeti, is murdered. And so he enlists.
That's horrible.
I know. Well, it is what it is. And so he enlists in the help of the Jersey Devil, Nessie, and the Goat Man. And yeah, exactly. It's
you don't
like,
even hardly hear about the Goat Man. I mean, all the others you hear about, you hardly ever hear about the Goat Man. I mean, what?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you
guys
playing around?
Guys.
What?
I need to borrow one here. I think there's something out here.
Hold on, guys. I just got a call.
Colleen, can you come with me and check this out?
Hold on. I'm coming.
I just got a phone call. It says it's from Cole, but it's not Cole. Listen to what it...
Oh, I've got it. Okay. Colleen, let's go check this out. Eddie, can you hold down the fort right now and make sure that everything's all right?
Yeah, I'm coming.
Okay. We'll be back. We'll be back.
Wait, you're leaving me by myself?
Yeah.
You got this.
I'm just supposed to.
Why don't you just close down the show? We're gonna go check this out, okay?
Okay. All right. I'm really scared, so I'm just gonna sit here and maybe give my recommendations of other comics people should check out. Probably, you know, if you're into Batman and Bigfoot the way I am, then check out Batman Brave and Bold number 8, where Batman actually fights the brown Yeti. What the heck? Okay, that is... Colleen? You better be making me my hot dog. No? Okay. This is really... What the heck? Okay, who's that behind me? I can feel breathing on
Sorry I'm late, guys. What? Hello? Where is everybody? I'm gonna sit by this. It's cold as hell out here. I'm gonna sit here. These are some messy fools. There's shit everywhere. Who's this? Let me see whose stuff this is. That must be Colleen. There's an intergalactic cleaner in it. Hold on. Look over here. This is Eddie's bag. Ooh, here's a stormtrooper. This is weird. Eddie would never leave this homeless stormtrooper laying around here. More cards for EddieMedina.com. Nobody's buying crap from him. Alright, hold on. This must be Cole's. Ooh. This is clearly Cole's bag. I've never seen one man have so much crap. Nope. Okay, I can make sure. Last time I did this, he'd get trying to get in trouble here. JediCole.com? How many of these stupid cards does he have? Come on, I know he's got something to eat in this bag. What is this post? Convention Awareness? Texas Blogs? That is the long... Who has a website can remember that? Convention Awareness, Texas.blogspot.com? Jesus Christ. Okay. Yeah, I know he has a MySpace page. Ooh, he's moved to Twitter like all the young kids. At Jedi Cole U. Ooh, that was clever. come on. Hopefully he'll come up with something eventually. Ah, this is what we're looking for. I'm going to sit by the fire, lean back. Nothing like having a good old copy of your first year here. You Are Here, Volume 1, available now. Too bad Eddie's not here. That would piss him off. Eddie, I've got You Are Here, Volume 1, available now. Anywhere I'm appearing or Cole's appearing, it's only $5. No? Okay. All right. Well, I guess I'll just wait for them to get here, and I'm going to get on. Oh, I wonder if Cole's logged in. I'm going to hashtag the moist side of the force. And that's what Darth said. What is that noise? I better get out of here, because I don't think they're coming back, and this is scary as hell. This fire sucks. I'm out of here.